you are invited to join the Fueled by Faith membership community. Inside this membership, you will have access to a Telegram text thread where you will find other female leaders that are getting filled by the Holy Spirit daily. You will also have access to our monthly virtual Zoom calls that are all about connection as well as getting the word and being connected to the women that are inside the community as well as the Lord and the Holy Spirit inside this membership. There's also a monthly meetup for those of you that are local to Wilmington, North Carolina. But don't let that hold you back. If you are not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, we are looking to grow the Fueled by Faith community within the next couple of years. Let me bring you into the global vision that is starting here with this Fueled by Faith community here in Wilmington, North Carolina. For those of you that are looking for community, that are looking for in-person meetups to meet other faith-based and driven women that are leaders inside your community, we are looking to expand in the next couple of years where you can have access to a Fueled by Faith community right in your backyard with ongoing chapters that continue to add and pop up. This is where we are headed in our vision, and we would love nothing more than to hear back from you if you're not local to Wilmington, North Carolina, if you would be interested in having this in your community, where that's located at, and giving you the blueprint of how we can get that started. If you want to join the membership or you're looking for more information on how to bring Fueled by Faith closer to you, just send us an email at info@sheassistyou.com or find us on Facebook inside our community and send us a message at the Fueled by Faith community page. Welcome to the Fueled by Faith podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vermeer. As a wife, mom, and business owner, I found myself stressed, anxious, bitter, and overwhelmed the majority of the time. Constantly taking care of everyone else, getting to my agenda, you know, the basics, food, water, working out, devotion, and quiet time. If I had the time, which either rarely happened or was just a check off the list. It was when I was searching for a community of women that I could invest in and get support from. God spoke through a friend of mine that this is something that I would create. So here we are, the Fueled by Faith podcast, giving female leaders like yourself a fill up so you can be encouraged, equipped, and empowered daily by plugging into the Lord and allowing Him to overflow in your life so then you can overflow into others, ultimately moving the needle forward for the kingdom of God. So sister, let's dive in. Hello, Fueled by Faith sisters. We are here with another episode of Fueled by Faith, our But God series. And I have another guest to help wrap us up with this series this summer. And her name is Heather Sudbrock. And Heather, I'm just so excited for you to be here and to share your story. Just for you guys to know, Heather and I met on, I think we got connected through a mutual friend on Facebook. And then that mutual friend was like, you guys need to talk. You guys need to get together because I feel like we are just divine sisters in Christ, and we are just here to help empower and equip and encourage women to step into their giftings and whatever that looks like. So Heather, thanks for being on. I would love for you to share a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I love just fellowshipping and sharing testimonies with other sisters. So this is really great. I am also a podcaster. I have a podcast called Kingdom Academy.
Yay.
And I serve kingdom-focused parents who are desiring to learn how to do spiritual warfare parenting, which is parenting from the heart of the Father instead of their own wounded hearts. And I also focus on our podcast on homeschooling and how to build home businesses that will leave a legacy for your children and their future generations. And I also, of course, have a community and a coaching program and all that fun stuff as well.
So good. That's why we're sisters. That's why we just get each other. It's so good. Well, you guys, you are in for a treat, and this may be a heavy topic and a deep conversation that we're going to have, but it is definitely necessary. And Heather and I were just talking about where to take this conversation and what should be shared. And it's definitely divinely guided and necessary for this conversation to happen. And I just ask that you just open yourself to receive this, and also just putting it out there that we are not alone. You are not alone. Even if you're sitting by yourself listening to this podcast right now, you are not alone. That is why we have sisters in Christ. And so if this impacts you, I'm just going to preface us. If this episode impacts you, because it's going to be so impactful, and you want to connect with Heather or myself or Fueled by Faith in our community, please reach out. I'll ask Heather to share at the end of this episode how you can get connected, and I'll put all of her information in the show notes, as well as our information for Fueled by Faith. But I just want to preface this conversation with how you can get connected and supported as well. And so we are wrapping up this But God series in how we see God work in the day-to-day, in the circumstantial ways, in just in life, and how he steps in and gives us these But God stories. So Heather, I would just love to give you the floor and allow you to share your But God, or a But God story that you have.
So yeah, I was about 28 years old. I don't have the exact year. It was somewhere around then. I would have to go back and look at vacation pictures. When at the time, my husband at the time and I went on a trip to Belize, and my husband was in the military. So he actually flew ahead and he stayed on base. But he got me a hostel to stay in, which was in the jungle. And it was my first time flying to another country by myself, even though it's a country where you don't really need a passport. But still, it was a little bit scary for me. And as soon as I got out at the airport, which was an open air airport, I realized they didn't really have taxi cabs. And I asked around, and some of the people were like, oh, you just take one of those cars and they'll take you where you need to go. So I took this car to the hostel in the jungle. It was like in the jungle. There was monkeys screeching constantly. There's bars on your window so the monkeys don't get in. It was crazy.
It's intense.
But especially for me, because I'm like, I don't want to be staying out here alone. Like, that was our argument the whole time, because it was pretty cheap at the time anyway to stay in Belize. And I really wanted to stay somewhere around the touristy area where I felt safer.
Yeah.
But it was really cheap. And our plan was to be there for, I think, about a month. So the next morning, I got up and got ready. And our plan that my husband and I had previously discussed was that every morning I would just take a cab and go to the Princess Hotel, which was this big touristy hotel area. In fact, I think Trump owns it. It's one of the hotels in Belize where the, what's it called, when all the girls model, like Miss America pageants and stuff happen there. And so that was the plan. And then there was all kinds of cool stuff to do there for affordable prices all day while I waited for him to get off work and join me. So I went down, I grabbed all my stuff, I got ready ASAP. I did not want to stay in that room any longer than I had to. Went down to the front desk, which was also outside. It was just a lady standing there at a table outside. And I asked her, how do I get a cab? It was literally in the middle of the jungle. There was a dirt road. And when you went to the dirt road and looked in either direction, you saw nothing in either direction. Like, it's just plain dirt, sandy dirt road. And she said, well, she looked me up and down and she's like, you cannot go like this. And I was like, what? And I was wearing jean shorts and a white tank top and had my bathing suit underneath because I was planning on hanging out by the pool all day. And she's like this. And she pointed with her finger up and down my body. And I was like, well, I'm going to the Princess Hotel. And she's like, it doesn't matter. You cannot go like this. She's like, go cover up everything you can cover up. Pull your hair back, cover up your hair. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I don't understand. Why are you saying this to me? She's like, just go. And I was like, okay. So I wore the only outfit I had, which was long jeans at the time and a white cotton shirt. And I had these little handkerchief bandana things. And I pulled my hair back and covered it with that. When I came back down, she's like, I'm like, what? How else can I cover up? I don't understand. And she's like, well, she's like, then just go out to the street and they will show up. And I'm like, who will show up? She's like, every man in Belize can be a taxi driver. She's like, and the only thing you have to do is get a green plate for your car. She's like, so if a man sees something he likes, he puts a green plate on the back of his car and he picks you up. And I'm like, wait, what? I just want a taxi driver. What is going on right now?
Yeah.
And she's like, this is just how it is in Belize. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. I was like, so what do I do? She's like, just go to the road. So I took my computer bag and my beach bag and I went to the road. And all of a sudden, these cars came out of the jungle, like out of nowhere. And there's about 6 or 7 cars. And all these guys jumped out and they're like yelling at me to come over here, come over here. And I look back to look at her and see if she has any advice for me. And she's gone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So I just picked one. And I got in the car. I'm like, I want to go to the Princess Hotel. And he's like, okay. And then he's talking and talking. And they're speaking in English, but their island's accents are so strong. It's kind of like when you go to the Bahamas or something, you kind of got to get used to hearing it. And at first I thought he was talking to me. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, I can't understand what you're saying. And he put his hand up, like really kind of severely, like, shh, like shushing me. And then he pointed to his ear and he had a headset in and he was talking to someone else, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. And there was a cage between us, like a divider from the back seat to the front. And there was a little glass window. So he slammed the little glass window shut. And I was like, okay, kind of rude, but just okay. And so we're driving and then I see the Princess Hotel and we just go right past it. And my thought process is like, oh, well, there's somewhere else to park and then we just keep going and we're picking up speed and we're going faster. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, and I knock on the divider thing. I'm like, excuse me. That's the Princess Hotel. That's where I'm supposed to go. And then he really starts going faster. I hear the doors lock and I'm like, my brain just can't comprehend that I'm in as much trouble as I'm in. Like I was, for a split second, I was like, could I jump out? But he's picked up speed and we're going so fast. If I jump out, I'm going to break something if I live. And then he'll be able to come get me and I won't be able to run. And then I'm thinking in my head, even as I'm thinking that, why am I thinking that? That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, this guy's probably driving to his turnaround. He's been a jerk from the beginning and he's just going to turn around and bring me back to the Princess Hotel. So I'm kind of just sitting there. And like, I'm starting to panic, but I'm not sure if I should be panicking. And I'm telling myself I'm being dramatic. And we start driving into the jungle, like back into the jungle, but at the other end of the island. And that's when I remembered my husband had told me before we went on the trip. He's like, hey, just in case anything happens, he's like, this is an area you're not familiar with. He's like, I just want you to memorize something. And I was like, what? I don't understand. What are you saying? And he's like, I just want you, if anything happens to you, I just want you to say this. I'm married to a Marine. I'm a reporter and I work for the United States as a reporter. And my husband is a Marine in the United States Marine Corps and he's training the Belizean Army. And if you don't take me back, you're going to have the entire United States Marine Corps after you. And when he said that to me, I was like, that's stupid. Why do I have to memorize saying that? And he's like, because you just don't know. And I was like, well, why don't I stay somewhere where I don't have to worry about that?
Right.
And he was like, well, just memorize it. And so all of a sudden that popped into my head. And so I yelled that at him. And I'm like, hey, I'm a reporter. I'm doing a story on the United States Marine Corps training the Belizean Army. And if you don't take me back, the United States Marines are going to be coming after you. And he just put up his hand again, like, be quiet. And that's when I started feeling like anxiety hit me, like, okay, something's really, really wrong. We're in the middle of the jungle. All of a sudden we came into this big clearing and all these guys, like, I don't know. It was at least maybe 10 to 15. It was a lot of guys. I don't even know how much my panic started affecting anything, but they were sitting around a fire. They were all drinking. And he peels the car to a stop and he's like, get out. So I grab my bags and I get out and I'm like, okay, I'm in trouble. Like, there's no way I can run all the way back that way and outrun all these guys.
Yeah.
And I have my two bags and I weirdly felt like I can't leave my laptop back. You know.
Yep.
As a business person. But then all of a sudden this other car came peeling down the dirty sand road and like dirt is flying everywhere and he slides the car sideways to a stop. He leans over, he throws open his passenger side door and he yells at me and he's like, get in. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't know who this is, but he's one guy compared to all these guys. At least if I'm with one guy, my chances are better. So I got in, and as soon as I did, all the other guys jumped up and they started running at the car and they were screaming and yelling. And then he peeled out. Like, I mean, we were peeling and tires were spinning everywhere. I was like, what is going on? And he took off down the road and I turned around and looked and all the guys were running after us and yelling and throwing their alcohol bottles at us and stuff. And I'm like, what in the world? And then I'm just sitting there and he's like, where do you want to go? And I hadn't even looked at him yet. I think I was in shock. And I was like, the Princess Hotel? Like, is he going to even take me there?
Yeah.
Is he asking because he really cares to take me somewhere? And we drove till we got to the Princess Hotel and he didn't say anything. And then he stops. He pulls up to the front and stops. I'm like, oh, he's really going to let me out.
Yeah.
And he turns to me and he's like, honey, do you know how much trouble you were just in? And he's this older man. He's got like Caribbean darker skin and flash white hair, like tons of white, pure white hair. And he's like, do you understand the trouble you were just in? And I was like, I don't know. And he's like, those men are traffickers, human traffickers. He's like, their plan was to have their way with you. And if you survived, then they would take you to the ships. We have ships here. This is why we're so big with human trafficking. And they would sell you. And I was like, blink, blink.
Yeah.
It just wasn't registering.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, he's like, how long are you here? And I was like, for a month.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's my card. He's like, if you need to go anywhere ever again, just call me. No one else.
Good.
And I was like, okay. And I took his card. I stepped out of the car and I literally just fell to the ground. My legs were like jello.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that. That was the craziest thing, was how much I didn't compute and how much I didn't realize, which I had a lot of trauma from my past as well. So I think my mind was just shutting down in survival mode.
Yeah.
But I sat there on the ground while he drove off. And I went into the hotel and that day I was supposed to secure a table at the restaurant and then my husband and the Marines were going to come. And they were going to eat there. So I was supposed to secure the table and sit there and wait for them. But they never came. And people kept bringing me drinks and they felt really bad for me and stuff. And I'm just sitting there like waiting so I can talk to my husband and tell him what just happened. And then finally, I get a phone call. They're like, hey, someone's called for you. Come get the phone. So I went and got the phone. And it was one of the guys who worked with my husband. And they're all completely trashed. And he's like, hey, he's like, come hang out with us here. And I was like, you guys said to secure a table for you. I secured the table. I'm here. He's like, I know, but we're trashed and we really don't want to drive there. And everybody's partying here. So come here. And I'm like, no,
no.
I was like, I'm not taking a cab anywhere. I was like, you're coming to get me.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me put your husband on the phone. So he did. And he's like, come here. And he was obviously trashed. Like his voice was slurring and everything. So I was like, great. I just wanted to like fall into someone's arms and feel safe.
Yeah.
And so they came and got me. I tried telling him in a screaming loud bar and everything. And I tried talking to him later in the night too. And he just kept blowing it off. Like I was being dramatic. That's not what really happened. I was blowing it out of proportion. And because he did that, and also probably because I was so like having a hard time wrapping my mind around that it happened, I shut down and I never spoke of it again. And it was years. And it was until this lady, when I was living near Wilmington, actually at the time, she met me and we had a business meeting together. And I don't remember how, I think we were talking about anti-human trafficking. And all of a sudden that came back to my memory. And I was like, I think I was almost trafficked once. And she was like, what? She's like, tell me. So I told her and she's like, you need to share this with at my event. And she had an event for teen girls and women. I think it was mothers and daughters mostly. But it was so interesting because, for one, public speaking was the most terrifying thing in the world for me at the time, literally worse than anything. And for two, she was like, you're going to do it. She got up. She walked out. She's like, I'll email you. And so when I went to this event to speak, I was so scared. And I realized like I was feeling a lot of shame. And I was really confused by that feeling because I felt stupid. Like, how old was I when this happened? Around 28 years old. And I couldn't realize I was getting kidnapped.
Right.
Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And so I actually made all these worksheets I printed out and the plan, and I asked the host if she'd set them on everybody's seat, and she did. And it was worksheets with a questionnaire and stuff that's asking, like, how could you avoid a situation like this? Like, what can you do to be more alert? What can you do to identify dangerous situations? And how can you choose to make different choices? Which is really interesting because I think a lot of times we make choices because we think, no, there's no danger there. And I'm not saying we should live in fear, but just because wisdom means we don't get the comfort we wanted doesn't mean we should avoid wisdom. When I realized, when she told me at that front desk that all the men in Belize can get a green plate, and if men like what they see, then they can put a green plate on the car and pick you up. That definitely was a red flag when I heard that. Uh-huh. But why did I ignore that? Because sure. I needed to get to the Princess Hotel. And that's not going to happen to me. And we have that kind of mindset. What I should have done is just waited until my husband was off work and had them come pick me up in the van. And I should have done that every day. But that's not convenient. That's not comfortable. And so we blow off danger a lot because to avoid the danger seems inconvenient.
Yeah.
And we believe that it just can't happen to us.
Yeah.
And so when I shared this with this group, it was really eye-opening for me because I felt like I did a horrible job speaking it. But I could tell that it had an impact on that audience. And that was really powerful to me because I realized it's not about us being great speakers as much as it's about us sharing our testimonies.
Yeah.
And like Revelations 12:11 says that by the word of their testimony, they overcame him.
Yeah.
what's that? That's a weapon against the enemy. And so it was really interesting because these women and these little girls stood up in line and they began sharing their testimonies. And it wasn't that big of a group. It was small, like it was over 100, maybe over 200, but I mean, that was it. Like it was a pretty, it's like a nice, intimate, smaller group of women and girls. But I don't know, there was maybe 8 to 10 that stood to stand and tell me how that affected them. One mother came up with her daughter and said, I always tell my daughter, be careful when you go out. And my daughter's always like, Mom, nobody's going to kidnap me. I'm too old. And she's like, as we're sitting here and you started your story with when I was 28 years old, I turned and looked at my daughter and she's like, oh. She's like, I had to apologize to my mom.
Yeah.
But then another lady came up to me and she was in her 60s and she shared about how when she was in the Bahamas one time, something happened to her and she got kidnapped and she escaped, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I think people just don't realize like it's so prevalent. And I'm not saying that to put fear in anybody, but I do think we need to be more alert. I do think we need to be willing to sacrifice comfort to be wise.
Yep.
And to definitely build our relationships with the Lord to the point where we can hear the Holy Spirit because he's our discernment and he'll give us those nudges if we're listening.
Yeah.
And if we're willing to obey, oftentimes we can avoid those types of things.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's my fault in the sense of I was bringing that on me in any way. That was another strange thing a lot of these women and girls shared was the shame they also felt.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting that we feel that.
Yeah.
And because I went through what I went through and then my husband kind of blew it off, I never shared it with anybody again because I already felt like I was kind of dumb for getting in that situation.
Yeah.
And then when he did that and said that, it just made it like sealed the deal. Like, okay, forget it. Don't tell anybody about this.
Yeah.
But the impacts sometimes that the things that we hold inside and we think we're dumb and shame and we're ashamed about it, like those are lies from the enemy because the Lord wants us to share our testimonies because so many of us actually relate to each other.
Yeah.
And we don't realize how much we do. We see the facades.
Yeah.
We see the confidence. We see, not that it's always a facade to be confident, but people put on these healthier fronts than the things they've endured. If we could actually see all over someone's face what they endured, that would be a lot.
Yeah.
But because we don't, we just assume like, oh, wow, that woman's well put together. There's no way she's been through anything. And wow, she's a good speaker and she's successful at her business. So she must not know what it's like to be homeless. She must not know what it's like to get kidnapped. She must not know what it's like to be in an abusive marriage. But when we share our testimonies, we connect with each other in that way of our hearts. Like, hey, I'm human. You're human. We're made in the image of God. And then there's grace for us.
Yeah.
And healing.
Yes. Yes. And I also like out of that, I feel led to talk about how I feel like it's often that we forget we live in a fallen world. We live on Satan's playground. We live in the enemy's world. And his will is running the world. And we often forget, I know I forget that because we are so spiritual and we are so in a relationship with the Lord that sometimes we can get to a point where we're like, oh, I am equipped and I have the word of God and I got all this on me, that sometimes it can also be this false belief that we're not saying it, but we can think that we're exempt from the fallen world that's around us. And even that situation of you making a very simple decision of going and getting in a car, that is a fallen world that probably 9 out of 10 of those cars that were around were all men doing the wrong thing and doing the enemy's work. But that has no weight on who you are and whose you are. And God put that man with the white hair in your path to be a part of this story so that you can impact. And just how you were talking about not how we don't share our stories sometimes, I feel like a lot of women, I know I have felt like this, if it's not going to impact hundreds or thousands, then I shouldn't share it. Right? Like if it's not going to be this huge monumental thing, if I'm not going to get 35,000 followers, then why should I share it? And God started with one. And I also read something, and this is huge, and I would love your input on this, because I'm going through a but God season of like, whoo, he's pulling me out of something. And I read something that said, of all ingredients that God chose to breathe us into life, he used dust. Of all things. Isn't that amazing? Of all things that he could pick, water, fire, like anything, he chose dust. And when you think of big groundbreaking life moment things that can bring your world to a crumble, I immediately think of dust. When my life blew up a couple weeks ago, someone told me, you're at ground zero. And when I think ground zero, all I can think is dust. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot of breath. When something about when you make dust wet, it becomes clay, was in that too. And so from these situations, we're impacting the one. God impacts the one. Jesus was only concerned of the one, and then the next one, and the next one. And what's beautiful is God's commissioned us to focus on the one. And so I think with that story and with sharing it, because so many people, like you said, I think I was trafficked. Like not even being like, no, that was full on, honey. That was it, you know? And even how our brain, the enemy in our brain of the thought to make you think, oh, I think I was, instead of no, actually you were in the process of getting there. And that is a story for women to know so they can learn to be more aware in their surroundings, like you talked about. I know that that's something that I've had to pick up on in my recent that I shared with you of being in a Walmart parking lot with my daughter. And there's guys in a unmarked van just staring us down. And even to the point where they're like leaning out of the seats to look at my daughter. And I shoved that grocery cart into the spot in front of me. I hopped in that cart and I got out of there. And I felt guilty for not putting the grocery cart in the grocery cart spot. And I was like, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for that person that gets it. But my daughter and our safety is way more important than a stupid buggy or grocery cart. Like it, you know, but that's where our mind goes.
Silly lies. Yeah. They're silly lies that the devil gives us.
Yes.
If that man who saved me, which he's my but God, because I believe he was actually possibly an angel.
Yeah.
But if he had not said to me in the car, do you understand what just happened? I was already processing that nothing had happened to me.
Yeah.
I was telling myself in my mind as he was driving me toward possibly the Princess Hotel that Okay, no, this wasn't as bad as you're thinking. You're being dramatic, which that was conditioning.
Because
I was conditioned in a very unhealthy, toxic relationship to think like that.
Yes.
And I had been conditioned in my past to think like that. But I think many of us have. Many of us have been in these bad, toxic relationships somewhere down the line that teaches us, especially as women, and I know it happens to men too sometimes, but I'm speaking to women because I'm a woman. We're women. But I think a lot of times we're just conditioned to downplay bad situations and immediately write them off as not a big deal. And I don't know, in a weird kind of way, especially after I shared that testimony the first time, I began to realize, you know, when you're driving down the road and somebody comes speeding past and swipes you off and it literally misses you by a hair.
For sure.
And you're just like, huh, whoa, that was close. And then la-di-da, you're about your day. But really, if that would have been a hair's breadth closer, you would probably be dead or a vegetable in the hospital.
Yeah.
Those moments when they happen now, I don't just let them pass by. It's like, wow, Lord, wow. Like, I was just spared.
Yes.
And that means who was coming at me? The enemy. And who is our enemy? Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Once we are aware of that, then we understand situations. Like if that car just swiped you by a hair's breadth, who was trying to take you out? That stranger who doesn't know you? Who probably wasn't even paying attention because they're trying to text somebody on their phone? No, that was a devil who was speaking to that person saying, hey, hurry up, quick. You got to text this person or do this or do this because we see that she's right here next to this person and we want to take this person out. Perfect. Let's do it. Like they are strategizing against us spiritually all the time. And again, not saying this to fear monger. Saying this because this is revelation from the word of God.
Amen.
So that we can know what we wrestle against.
Amen.
And then we're given the armor to stand against it. And we're even given a weapon for offense, which is the word of God. And that word of God is not just the word of God in the Bible. That's also the word of God in your relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
And if you're in relationship with him and you're learning how to listen to his voice and to obey him and to heed the nudges of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to receive those words and those moments that are going to be the things that can change your life in a split second. But oftentimes, those words that are going to be those swings with the sword that will slay the enemy are going to be things God's calling us to do that puts us in discomfort.
Yeah.
Not comfort.
Like, yeah.
Because the minute we come into the spirit realm, we die to our flesh. And that's why Paul said we have to die daily. So if we want to battle in this spiritual realm, which is what we should be doing, then we need to die daily so that we can battle daily.
Yeah.
And then like Paul also said, it's like a race. And we need to run that race as one who wants to win the prize.
Yeah.
And we have to run it as if there's one prize to win and we want to win it.
Yeah.
And that means we have to lay aside everything that ensnares us, everything that hinders us. We have to recognize what are those things that are hindering us? What are those things that are snaring us? And then we have to choose to lay them aside so that we can run this race in a way that we will be the one to win the prize. That's intense. That's not vacation time. That's a battlefield.
That's a battlefield. Amen. But there's a reality here that is not spoken about, that is not taught on, that is not given enough time to highlight and to share about that. Like, what are you doing? I feel like so many people are asleep right now. And Holy Spirit's like, hello, I'm in you. Wake up. We got work to do. we got work to do. And I love how you said that and brought that into, because I've been, that verse of we don't fight against flesh and blood has been, I've been on that all week long. And it's such a beautiful reminder of what we're here to do, why God breathed us into dust or from dust, why he created us from dust, our purpose. So many people struggle with purpose. So many people struggle with why am I here? So many people struggle. Like, we are here to glorify the kingdom of God and to use our giftings that he's given us to go impact and create more disciples to fight against the enemy that's here on, like, we're having church right now, and, you know, but no one is speaking about this daily because it's not just a Sunday type of faith. It's not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's not just a, okay, I'm going to do it one day of the week and then I'm going to complain and I'm going to be in my feels and I'm going to be all this for the rest of the week. No, he wants all of us all the time and he wants us to want him all the time. That's a relationship.
It's a relationship. And I often say, because this is what I talk about a lot, spiritual warfare, parenting,
yes,
is not just for people who have children.
Yeah.
It's for any of us who are called by God because of Isaiah 54. We're all called to parent,
yes,
each other, like others. Parenting is discipleship. That's,
yes,
what it is. And but parenting from the heart of the Father is parenting outside of our own needs, our own desires, our own understandings. It's parenting from his grace and his mercy in our lives. And that is what spiritual warfare is. Look, if we see somebody who, like James says in the Bible that how we show favor. He says how the rich man comes in and we say, sit here. And we say to the poor man, and you sit here. And we're showing that favor like that. But we also, how does he say it? Basically, it's that partiality that we're showing, and it's a hypocrisy. And we don't realize and we don't recognize what we're warring against. And so easily and so many times, somebody we could be coming against could be the very person that's the door or the answer that God is going to move in to open something up in our lives. It's very interesting to me. I feel like I'm going off on a tangent a little bit here, but I lost my home back in 2020 and I had nowhere to go and no doors were opening up. Nobody in my church at the time where I was living, nobody would help me. Everybody just kept saying, bless you, we're praying for you, bless you. And I was like, this is insane. I've been homeless before. I definitely don't want to be homeless again. But the part that's bothering me more than the fact that nobody would help me was the fact that we're the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And the people everybody wants to help are the people who are strangers on the streets. Like, there's this whole evangelism movement of people who just want to go out into the streets and help the homeless and help the, I'm not saying you shouldn't.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the scripture says that if you don't help your own first, you're worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever. And that we're supposed to take care of our own first. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's because if the world sees us pouring into each other and taking care of each other and serving each other, then our light is going to shine.
Yes.
And that's what Isaiah 60 talks about when it says, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for deep darkness covers the earth. But the people will come to that light.
Yes.
And right now, we're in these, we all want comfort and safety. We all feel shook by so many things going on in the world today. We all feel overwhelmed and stressed by our own traumas and our own circumstances. But the thing is, we're living in our own souls. We're,
yeah,
living in our own flesh. And because of that, we will always be overwhelmed. We'll always be in a poverty mindset and an orphan spirit, because when we live from our flesh, we're going to always be broken.
Yeah.
But when we live from the heart of the Father, that's when we can step into that spiritual warfare and we can begin serving each other in spirit and in truth. We can use the discernment of the Holy Spirit to discern what battles where to even step into or not step into. And I think it's really important for us to understand that, because the whole point of coming back to the Father is for restoration.
Yeah.
It's the restoration plan. Actually, Isaiah 54, if you read the whole chapter, is a love letter from the Father God to us, because he had divorced Israel. And he was basically writing this letter to the people saying, I've turned my face away from you for a little bit, but after this, I'm going to turn back to you and I will never turn away from you again, because he was talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
He was going to make a way that he could come back to us, even though he had divorced us. And that way was Jesus Christ. But to come back to us is to give us better than what we even had before with him, which is the full restoration of what was intended for us. And this is all coming back to your dust comment, because I was praying about that as you were saying that. And I was like, why? Yeah. Why the dust? Why the earth? Like, what is there that binds us to this earth? You know, this earth that we're about to spend eternity on when the new heaven and the new earth comes down. But I mean, it's here.
Yeah.
It's our inheritance.
Yeah.
It's the foundation of our inheritance is literally birthed in our very beings. The very thing that Satan lies to us about and wants to steal, kill, and destroy from us. And what is the foundations of the earth? It's the ground we are losing.
Yep.
We're losing ground.
Yep.
Because the enemy steals, kills, and destroys. He's taking all this away from us. But when we come into our identity in Christ, we begin to know who we are, who the Father has restored us to be in him. Then we know what is ours. And the Bible says that when the enemy is found out, then he will be made to pay back 7 times.
Yeah.
Even if it's from his own household to pay it back to you, he will be made to pay it back 7 times. And we literally have the foundations of our inheritance built into the very fiber of our beings with the dust of the earth, because the earth is ours. What did God give it to Adam for? To have dominion and power and authority. And so in walking in this intimacy with the Lord, walking in this restoration and this healing of our identity in Christ, we get restored and we get everything back.
Yeah.
Multiplied.
Yeah. So good. This is so good. Oh my goodness. So good. Okay, tell everyone, Heather, where they can find you and get connected with you. If you guys want to hear more about what she's all about and what she does, you can connect with her, even give her some love from this episode, something that stuck out from what she shared in her testimony. Just give her some love. Heather, where can they find you?
I think the best way right now, because I'm transitioning my platform.
Okay.
Websites, but the best way to find me is just to go to Instagram.
Okay.
And go to at Reign and Joy, and it's Reign like a king, R-E-I-G-N, in like you're reigning in joy. And then I'll give you the link for that and you can post it too. But there's a link in my bio there and you can click on that, and that will give you access to everything we do. We have a free discipleship community. We have a free secret place training there, and it's really incredible what happens when you take your kids into the secret place. I've got incredible testimonies that are coming out on the podcast soon about that.
Great.
And awesome. And then I guess if you don't have Instagram, you can just DM me on Facebook and I can message you there. I just am not super active on Facebook, but I'll pay attention for that.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Heather, for being on. This was so great.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fueled by Faith podcast. We would love it if you could go and leave us a 5-star review and how this podcast is impacting you. This will help us move the needle forward to get this podcast out to more and more communities, more and more women that need to be fueled by faith.